You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
Found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. Jim, he's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand, and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I convinced them I had to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. This got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Alice wants what you think I've seen. Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Well, the party they're gonna have out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it Bigfoot Star.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Descardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, hello, folks. This is Marco Bell again. And Tom is, he's currently with his team in transit, and they're headed over some mountains, and it's really bad. They're kind of bad weather where they're at right now. And we tried to test our link just before the show, and it's not working. It keeps dropping out. So, Tom will be on. We're going to actually have, next week we'll have a show right from the field. Tom and his team are headed somewhere, and when they get there next week, we'll be able to have a show right from the field with all the people there right where he's at. But anyway, I'd like to start off the show tonight a little bit thanking all of our listeners for tuning in and being a part of our family, our Bigfoot family. I get many, many calls all week from the Bigfoot hotline. Just had one before the show. And some very interesting encounters and experiences that take place from all over the United States and Canada. I mean, there's not a state other than Hawaii that we haven't got a report from. It's pretty active right now. Weather's kind of doing things to us again, too, it would seem. It's a little warm throughout the whole areas there in most areas, so it looks like it's warming up. Anyway, What I'd like to do is start off the show a little bit here with our first guest. This is basically Kevin gave me a call last night. He's from Connecticut. He had some things happen, and let's go talk to him and see what happened. Kevin, are you out there, my friend?
Yep, I'm here.
Well, how are you tonight, Kevin?
Good. How are you?
Super. I'm doing great. Why don't you tell us, in your own words, what took place and when and how did things transpire?
Well, it was about 10 o'clock at night. I was at work where I work and live at the same place. So I was coming out of my garage, and I know that, like a lot of people, we watch the Bigfoot shows and everything, and I thought maybe somebody might be messing with me, but I have this, like, ridge line that goes along the front, that faces my garage, and it seemed something, at first I thought somebody was messing with me with knocking, but the knocking was, like, way too loud to be, like, just didn't sound very normal. So I immediately just kind of tucked into the garage real quick and just grabbed my gun and let them know that if they did know who I was, they knew I wasn't joking about the gun.
No, I understand, and, yeah.
So at right around that moment, as I was like yelling out, something just smashed through the woods on the ridgeline and made a bunch of noise. I didn't hear anything, like, other than the noise of them, whatever it was, running. And there was no grunting or I didn't see anything. Just a lot of noise, like, so much noise. It was loud noise, like a something bigger than normal in the area, you know.
Was it kind of like running through the brush kind of noise?
Yeah. But
really heavy?
Breaking,
huh?
Lots of stuff, like just a lot of breaking,
yeah.
Stuff. And just the next couple days, we have these two retainer ponds, and I was walking up this path that goes up to the around, up the back side of the retainer pond because I wanted to see how much damage was coming in from the water. People were pumping constantly, and the property above us, like, flows into our property. So I wanted to see how much of the trails got eroded. And notice that there's this, like, huge, like, even, like, a pretty big tree down that was weird. Because that night it was windy. There was nothing really going on. Just still and quiet other than that big, loud, odd thing that happened to me.
Now, you know, the tree, or excuse me, I've got the last bits of this slew. The tree. What size was the tree? What, you know, the.
It was at one point a full-grown tree. Ivy had taken over and kind of formed like a. If people know what, like a Yoshi. It was a weird-looking tree because it looked like a full tree even in the winter time because of the ivy and stuff. But
uh-huh.
It's kind of. It's just ivy. The tree's
uh-huh.
gone. It's a big trunk there. So we're talking maybe 15, 20 feet.
Yeah.
Log.
And about how round was it about?
I would say about 2 to 3 feet, maybe 2 feet.
And it was broke off?
Yeah, completely broken off, and that's where the water runs through. It was just weird that it was even down, and I was kind of thought that maybe because I didn't see anything and because of how loud this stuff was, like it seemed like the answer to the what was going that loud part of whatever was banging through the woods.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you now when you were looking around there, did you happen to notice anything else about any formations or anything strange about trees or anything like that?
I mean,
or is it just
a
broken tree?
Are,
or you really didn't look or notice it?
After talking to you the other night, I was looking around. I was like, there's definitely some kind of trail up on top that I didn't make. There's a from my trail for the quads to go up and around the pond, the little thing. On the right side, there's a game trail, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And I noticed that, and it all looked weird to me after that. It's a little weird.
Now, is there a water in the near area there? Obviously, you said you had some ponds.
Yeah, actually, where my property is, there's, if I'm standing in my property, to the left of me, there's a power line trail that runs through Connecticut.
Uh-huh.
And to the right of me is train tracks, and then right below that is the Housatonic River.
So, what about food?
Oh,
any kind of other farms in the area, or any kind of gardens, or is there what kind of animals are around the area there?
Yeah, there's two farms. There's a lot of deer, a lot of coyote, a lot of stuff coming around us.
Squirrels. You got raccoons too?
Raccoons. We even got fisher cats moving back in.
Oh.
There's been bear sightings. Like, more up north, though, not here in Milford,
sure.
I don't think. But no.
The bears that you have there are the black bear, right?
I believe so, but those are so, like, we're talking the other end of the state, really, for those.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, there's a lot of animals, definitely. We even have, like, the police have that, like, kill order sometimes with coyotes and for deer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was another thing I was telling you about that night. I saw the three coyotes run across my headlights, like
right. Yeah.
When they looked like they weren't afraid of me or my headlights anymore. I was just sitting in at the front of my driveway, and they just came right out and in front of my car, like they were being chased.
Right. Well, yeah, they very well could have. Yeah. Now, when you heard that noise back in was it crashing kind of sound? Was it, steps? And
that matching thing was just enormous sound. Like, it wasn't.
Oh, yeah, yeah, like a tree hitting a tree type of thing.
But it was, like, tree to tree, yeah, like tree to tree, like, crazy ass. It was just loud, like extremely loud.
Uh-huh.
And quick and startling enough to...
Now, has anything happened since then?
No. Not really. Not
okay.
Not out of the ordinary. I mean, I really find I was like, even one of my workers found like, up on the retention pond, there was another kill the other night where like something like got something white was eaten. I don't know what was white, but something got eaten pretty good sitting up on top of the pond, which looks like it would be like right in front of the shop kind of thing.
Now, does the ponds, do the ponds have fish in them or anything?
No.
No, they're not stock, right?
There's a lot of frog. And it's just a retention pond, like one pond fills
up. Yeah, I understand.
Goes into the driveway to another pond, and that fills up, and then we're pumping for days.
And right.
There's a lot of swampy areas. There's this whole, we have a cat island where there's lots of cats over there.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's a cat haven. We even have
well, heck.
Weird. Connecticut.
Did it kind of frighten you when you had all this happen? or not really frighten you, but I mean, you kind of...
It made the hair stand up on the back of my neck, and I was definitely quick enough to yell out about having my gun.
I understand. Gosh. Well, you know, Kevin, I'd like to keep in touch with you, if you don't mind. And you can keep in touch with me. I think you have my contact information.
Yeah,
and if anything, if anything happens from now on and you happen to notice it, give me a call, and we'll have you back on to try to talk about it. We also, at the end of the, you know, at the end of the show here, we'll have about a 10 minute period where we have all the people get together, you know, all the guests and some of the other guests we have here, and maybe we'll ask each other questions and things about their experiences and things. If you'd like to, you can listen to the rest of the show on your phone, and when we get towards the end, I'll unmute everybody, and we'll all be together in a little conference discussion.
Okay.
I want to thank you for coming on and sharing your experience with us. It's kind of hard to tell right now what it was, but obviously there are some of the things there are very familiar with that of one of these creatures. There's no way to determine that, but it certainly is interesting, isn't it?
It's, I can't explain how big that noise was.
I understand totally what you're saying. Yes. Well, I'm gonna mute you out, and you can listen to the rest of the show if you'd like, and then towards the end we'll get together with the rest of it. Okay. Thank you so much for coming and taking the time to come on, Kevin.
No problem.
Here we go. I'm gonna mute you out. Ladies and gentlemen, it was Kevin from Connecticut. We're going to go up to a commercial for a second here, and we'll be right back.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. If you haven't heard it and seen it, you should get it. It's a Pocono Mountain Film Festival award for one of the, actually, we had two of them in 2011. And the best picture or the best documentary. For both movies, Bigfoot Lives 3 and Bigfoot Lives 2 and Anatomy of Bigfoot Hoax. Our next guest, we're supposed to have our next guest on here. He's having problems dialing in right now. So what we're going to do is we're going to go and we're going to talk with Chris from Arkansas. And when we'll find out what's going on in Arkansas. Chris, how are you tonight, my friend?
I'm pretty good, Marco. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Tell us what's been going on.
Well, I had some real bad luck, and I was going out one morning, and I was going down a high line. I'd been down several times before, and my old truck, I wasn't in four-wheel drive, and I got stuck and tore some shit up. So I just got my truck put back together good and getting ready to go back out there. The weather been so rainy around here that, Without my truck, it's kind of almost impossible to get to where I want to go without having to walk 2 or 3 miles just to get to the area that I want to be in.
Yeah, I understand, yeah.
I did get a blessing. I went Atwood, opened up here where I live here in Union County in Arkansas, and I went in there, the grand opening, and they had some Flight Watcher game cameras on sale for $20, and they're normally like a $100 game camera. I got me a couple of those, and I'm going to be going out there tomorrow morning. I'm going to set them up. The one thing I can say is that they hadn't went nowhere. They're still getting my peanut butter and leaving me little little like little X's, little tiny X's. One of the nice things that I got was.
Well, why don't you tell us about that? You know, go back and let's rehash that. Go back through that. What happened and when? About.
Well, I mean, it's been going on ever since Tom told me that that area where that picture I took and I sent you, that where the trees are woven together in that arch over that little metal thing.
Right.
Ever since Tom told me that it looked like an altar, like an offering.
Right.
And I've been laying little pieces of apples and, you know, the little 25-cent bag of chips. I open the bag of chips and just leave the whole bag there. I've been, and almost every time I go back out there, I've got a new little. It'd be like a stick formation. It wouldn't be a tree formation because it's not, you know, it's not the trees they're messing with, but they're bringing stuff and leaving it when I guess they come to get the food, the peanut butter, the chips, or whatever I've left. The biggest sign that I got was when I left some Reese's Chips Ahoy cookies that had Reese's peanut butter in the cookies. And I left some of those out there on the altar. And a tree is kind of dead, but it literally looks like something like dug its hand into it. And how high it is, I know deer stand up on their hind legs to eat and for other things around that matter, but I've never seen a deer gnaw into a tree, like go through the bark, go into the meat. Now, the tree was dying, but as tall as it was up, I mean, it's a pretty cut and dry scenario in my eyes, because, I mean, I don't think we have any animals out there that would be tall enough or strong enough, for that matter, to do the type of damage that was done to this tree. It literally looks like something strong stuck its hand in the tree and took a chunk out of it, and then, like, you can see, like, dig marks and into the tree where something was digging into the meat. Like, you can see the scrapes in the tree. I've got a picture of that as well. But that's on my digital camera, so I'm gonna have to load it up on my computer and send you that as well.
Okay. Well, tell us some of these things that have taken place.
Well, I'd like to back up. If we're gonna talk about tree formations.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Like tree formations, things like that.
I've kind of been on the listen to everybody and take everybody's opinion as far as these tree formations goes, because I've heard, you know, that they're marking a trail, something significant, or they're bored, or they're doing it as for a playground, or maybe like an area, you know, where they leave their young to play or to hang out while they go, you know, look for food or whatever. I would like to say that since I've been going out there and looking, that I would almost have to 100% agree with the fact that these areas that I find the most tree formations, the most unnatural tree fall, and what I mean by unnatural tree fall is there'll be a pine tree stuck in the V of a tree, a naturally occurring V, a tree that grew and split. There'll be a pine tree shoved in the V, and there's no pine trees anywhere around there. So you could tell that, you know, that piece of pine did not come from that area, but it was brought there from somewhere else. And the formations that with sticks, it's not only things like that. They also make formations and mark things with trash. Like, I told Tom that I found that tree that had all the glass bottles, and it was weird because all of the tops were almost like all the bottles were facing the same direction. All the butts of the bottle were going around the tree in the same direction. So it wasn't like it wasn't chaos. It wasn't somebody threw bottles and they just wound up over here beside this tree. No, these things were placed in a series, in rows and lines, and stacked up to the tree from the base of the tree all the way up to probably about 8 inches up the tree. And it's done with pine straw and twigs, I guess, so the bottles won't fall and go out of place. There's not a human in the world that I know that in this chigger-infested area in the woods that is almost impossible to get to on foot would sit there for that long unless they were extremely high on PCP or something and do that type of thing. You know it's not any other animal doing it because it shows intelligence because it's showing you a pattern. It's placing something out there and placing something else similar to it very, very much like how it just placed the first item. The car, the piece of car that I told Tom about, and I know the listeners probably excited about this, where I go, I drive down a pipeline a little ways so I get to this marsh, and then I get out the truck, and then I walk into the woods, and right off the pipeline, there's probably three or four junk pieces of cars, and these aren't like, you know, newer cars. These cars have been out there for a while, probably ever since they first started putting houses out around this area. And they're like pieces of 57 Chevys and cars like that. Heavy, heavy pieces of metal. You know, it'd be like the front half of a car, the back half of a car, or the front clip, the clip, the fenders and stuff like that. Well, the car I'm specifically speaking about right now, it was the front whole clip of the car from the windshield up, minus the motor and all the mechanical. So, I mean, it's still frame is there and the metal. And this wasn't, you know, this isn't made out of recycled Coke can metal. This is that real metal, heavy metal. And it was drug. You could see the leaves, the dirt tore up where whatever drug it, which, by the way, me and my two buddies wasn't going to drag it. Not over the sticks, not through the mud, not through that terrain. We weren't going to be able to drag it. Now, you'd have put it on concrete, an area that was smooth. Yeah, we could have probably drug it. We'd have been straining, but we could have probably drug it. It was moved 35, 40 yards through thorns, little twigs, little bushes, and it was drug out to the pipeline. So, I mean, something, and there were no tire marks other than mine. I'm real anal and picky about things like that. If something that major has happened, I'm like, all right, well, I'm not a skeptic. I believe in a creature because of what I saw when I had my first encounter, so I know that they exist. But I want to know if what I'm seeing is an action of something other than human. So I'm already knowing that as heavy as it is, somebody didn't do it. One person didn't go get it, grab it, and drag it. Two people didn't do it. And then I looked to see if there was any new tire tracks showing up on the pipeline other than my tire tracks. And I didn't see any different style tire tracks all the way down to the marsh. So that lets me know that nobody came down there on a four-wheeler or a truck or anything like that and drug that out to the pipeline. It's the things like that that put a wow in everything. Because just when you think you've seen and you've got a pattern or you think that how they're going to do things is you got it figured out or you think you're right on the right track, they do something off the wall like drag a car out of the woods and leave it on the pipeline where I normally park my truck. And, you know, nobody knows because nobody is that much of a Bigfoot professional or professor. They can't tell, nobody can tell me, you know, is that a warning? Did they pull that car out of the woods to say, hey, quit parking here. Don't be coming down here no more, trying to make it hard for me to get down there? Or was it them doing it to say, here's a piece of a car that we thought was kind of cool since you've been coming out here and leaving us peanut butter? I don't see the threatening in the tree formation when I'm in the woods. But when I live by the pipeline, the same pipeline that's on the marsh but on the opposite side, when they left the X in my yard that I have videoed, you know, it's on YouTube or whatever I sent y'all, when they did that, that was kind of threatening to me because they knew who I was, obviously, because I left the crunchy peanut butter in a tree. They came to my house to leave a gift or something. And It was in the same spot where we thought we knew where something was standing. It made a vocalization. Something made a noise at us before I was certain that what I had saw was a creature that everyone loves to call Bigfoot. before I was certain on what I had saw and what was going on, when we heard the vocalization, it would have been where the X was placed in the yard, and how the X was placed in the yard was placed like this. So for everybody that doesn't know or hasn't seen the video, you can watch the video by, you can Google me. You go to Google and put in Chris Reed, C-H-R-I-S-R-E-E-D, and then right after you put in my name, just put Bigfoot. So just Google Chris Reed Bigfoot, and it'll pop up me on YouTube. If you'll subscribe to my page, I've got a bunch of videos. And the one video that I'm talking about specifically, the name of that video is Proof Doesn't Get Any Better Than This. And it's a video, it shows how close it is to the house, and I show the tree, and then it's a piece of a, I would like to say it's white oak. It could be pin oak, but it's definitely not the red oak, like the red oak tree that it's by. It's not the same type of tree, and it's right at the base of the tree, and it's bigger around than my forearm. And I'm not about 180 pounds. I'm not a big dude, but it's bigger around my forearm. It's got an edge to it, kind of like a. Kind of like come to a point, but you can tell it's not, it hasn't been whittled or anything like that. It's just the way it was broke off, it had that point. It was drove into the ground. It I would say a foot or more. And I tried myself to get a stick that was nice and sturdy, not that big around, but I whittled it down with a stick. And around in that same area where that ground was, I tried to drive a stick that had been sharpened into the ground. And with a smaller stick, smaller round in circumference, I couldn't get it in the ground no further than about 4 inches. And that's with me bowing up and trying to stick it in the ground. And so that lets me know right now that whatever did that was way, way stronger. It had way more ass to it than I have. I'm sorry, I didn't say the A word. It had way more weight on them than I did, you know, being able to drive something like that down into the ground. And then the branch that formed the X with it was smaller than that branch, also a different type of tree, not even the same type as the other piece of the X, leaned right up against the big branch that was shoved in the ground on a notch, like a little bump, like a little pimple on the wood, like a little notch, like right up on the notch, perfectly. Like wind blowing, it wasn't going to blow over. And this stick was not shoved in the ground. It was just laid up there. But it was done in such a way that, like I said, with the wind blowing and everything, it wasn't going to blow over. I mean, it was, when you're walking up to the tree, the first thing I noticed was I was like, wow, did the tree, because me and my buddy were walking all around the yard because of what had been going on, you know, looking for footprints in the yard, you know, looking for stuff that's out of place in the yard, you know, seeing if they're coming up to the house. And the first thing I noticed was, wow, you know, a tree just popped up out of nowhere beside that tree. Like, where did it come from? It wasn't there a day ago. And when I walk up to it, I notice it's not a tree growing out of nowhere. It's a branch shoved in the ground. And I'm like, oh, my Lord. Well, we shake it, we pull it by the ground, and that's what is on that video. The tree formations is a good way to communicate that you know they're there. And what I mean by that is take notice to the tree formation. Don't tear them up. Don't mess them up. Because, I mean, these things, like I said, nobody can tell you whether they're doing it as a warning, stay away, or they're doing it as, hey, you know, look at us. We can do this. No one really knows. So I would suggest, you know, leave it as is. Take pictures and make your own. I will make simple things, you know. And what I found kind of funny is like I'll mess with something and they won't mess with what I put up. But they'll act like they're upset about it. And what I mean by that is they'll, like, stomp, trample on the wood and tear up little branches. And it's not like they're making a formation. They're just tearing up the wood. I've got a video that's like an hour long. It's not on YouTube. And I put some peanut butter up on a tree, and I stuck a digital recorder. It records for just 2 hours. And it's little. It's like a little spy camera. And I stuck it up on another tree facing the area where I put the peanut butter. And I was kind of hoping that, you know, during the 2 hours when I walked off to go somewhere else, that if something was out there, got curious, that it would walk out and I'd see it on the camera. Well, you can hear us, our footsteps. The microphone on it is really good. You can hear our footsteps leaving, and you can hear us kind of talking, whispering or whatever, and then we get out of range. And then about 20 minutes after we get out of range, after you don't hear us anymore, you start hearing footsteps again. You never see anything, but you hear footsteps and leaves coming around. Okay, then the video goes off and nothing major, right? Wrong. I go back out there to collect my camera. The only little tree that was left standing in that area within about a 10-foot circle was the one that had my camera on it. Everything else around it had been demolished, like mowed to the ground, broke all the way off to the ground. Like the little area of the thicket that I put the camera up, it wasn't a thicket anymore.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty good there. Chris?
I just like to, anybody that, you know, is going out there and looking, you might be on to something.
Yeah.
If you find an area.
Well, heck, we're going to, we got to go to one of our other guests here pretty soon, pretty quick. But hey, what I wanted to do is tell you thank you.
If you can find tree arches, those are really cool. And I don't care what nobody says, it does not happen in nature. I've aced science all through school. I even took a extra course in environmental science 1 year at the college when I was in high school. I even got a government, the governor award for science, whatever, you know. And I know for a fact that a tree, even under an ice storm or any other extreme circumstance, if it lays over, if it's a young enough tree, it'll try to stand back up. We in South Arkansas, there isn't snow or ice strong enough to bend a tree over to keep it that way. Now, we have had tornadoes. We have had severe thunderstorms with wind real high. Those can lay trees over and take them all the way about the ground. You know, a tornado, you know, everybody knows the destructional thing that a tornado does. But when you're in an area that's never been affected by a tornado, then you can rule out, okay, well, tornado winds did this to these trees and put these weird trees in weird places. When you know that the wind, the tornado, the storm path did not go that way, then you can rule that out. So now you're looking at a 50-foot oak sapling, you know, that's about as big around as my thigh at the base, that is bent flat over in a perfect arch with the top of the tree in the ground. I said the top of the tree in the ground.
Yep. Well, you know what I
that tree in the ground.
You know, Chris, that we've had two other people on the show here that have also described that very same thing, right?
Tree, the same size, and how far it is when it's that wide around the circumference part of the tree to the tip of the tree. Not counting all the
branches
going to be up there. Where did they go? Did something break those off? Because those wouldn't have allowed that tree to grow down into the ground like that. They would have kept
Chris?
The tree up because they would have spread out over the ground. They would have kept the tip of that tree from going into the ground. So when a tree goes into the ground, you know something made that tree do that. Everything in nature says that tree should want to stand back up. So if it's not trying to stand back up, that means whatever put it in the ground deep enough that it knew it wasn't going to stand back up. Okay, but when you have three or four trees...
Can you hear me?
But around in the same area of woods that's done like that, now that's not a fluke. That's not coincidence. That is proof that something with intelligence, with posable thumbs, strong, is out there in the woods playing around just like kids do, just like people do when they get bored. They want to entertain themselves. They want to do something weird. Hey, let's take this tree and stick it in the ground. Let's take this other tree and move it from over here and stick it up in this via this other tree 200 yards away. A deer stand, it was on the pipeline. You could go up to the deer stand and look at it. It had been shaken off the tree. The wood was, you could see the rub marks on the deer stand. I got pictures of this, too. I think I sent it to you, Marco.
Chris, can you hear me?
Now I can. I was wondering what was going on.
You haven't been able to hear me. Chris. No, no, it's okay. Well, no, we got to get a couple of the other guests on yet, too. But, No, there's been other, the same thing that you're describing right now is also a couple other guests have been on the show that have described the very same thing. The trees bent over, then the tips of the trees stuck in the ground, stuff like that. What I'd like to do is we got to have we're trying to get a little piece of time here at the end of the show for discussion for everybody. And what I'd like to try to do, we're going to have you on next week again, so we can start off. And thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for sharing with us. Hang on there, and we'll in about another few minutes we'll be at the end of the show here where we can have a discussion. I'm going to go to try to get our next guest here. Okay.
I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. I couldn't hear anything.
That's okay. Don't worry. Everything's fine. I'm going to meet you out right now, and then I'll come right back, okay?
I appreciate it.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's Chris from Arkansas. A little bit of problem with our phone system here. That happens once occasionally. So what I'd like to do, our next guest, or our original second guest, he's really having problems trying to dial in. What he did is he sent me an email yesterday. What I'd like to do is read that email. If you go up on www.bigfootlive.com, that's www.bigfootlive.com. And in the table of contents on the left side, go to what's on the show. You're going to find that under Dusty from Tennessee, there's a whole bunch of pictures. And these are all the things that Dusty has been doing. And he's been gone now for a couple of weeks. And he finally come back, and he sent a whole bunch of stuff for this. For us tonight, and he wanted to go through all this. But I'm going to do is I'm going to read you the email that he sent me, and he also called me about early in the morning. He said, my apologies for calling so early this morning. I believe it was around 8 o'clock, but it's been difficult keeping my excitement to a dull roar after my encounter this morning. To start from the beginning, when we were home for about 4 weeks ago, I had been trying to cross the creek to get to what appears to be an entrance covered by vines hanging over a tree. I can't tell for sure and have been waiting for the water to subside so that I can cross. This home time is no different, unable to cross due to the high water, and it's about 1.5 feet deep. Normally, it's almost dry. Around 4 o'clock, I woke up as usual. And we came in from home time, and so I put on a pot of coffee. It takes almost 12 minutes for our pot to brew. I get a cup of coffee, and I head out to the front porch as usual. This is morning ritual. And I had been outside for about 20, 25 minutes, and oh, my God, I heard a coo or a hoo, a very light and mellow but audible enough for me to hear it. 6 coos or hoos in a row. Bill, I spent 4.5 years on a sniper kill team, and we were trained to determine sound direction and travel. This is very important because we had to know in what direction voices, footsteps, etc. were traveling to determine how we need to handle the situation. Anyways, this sound, of which I have never heard before, not animalistic anyway, and not humanistic, but like a mixture of both. With my level of training, I determined it was coming from the main section of the creek I frequent often, and in the same area this cave-looking entrance is at. Now, here is what is odd. The last time we were in from home, I made a belly-type noise. No idea how to make a Sasquatch call, so I improvised. And I made 6 of these funny belly calls, and I specifically made the noise in the direction of this cave or shelter type entrance. I'm telling you that what I heard this morning when it was still dark out was a direct call to me. There was no echo through the creek or the hills. It was as if it was directly to me. It didn't scare me, although every hair stood up on my end. I was, I guess, in shock or mesmerized by the sounds. I don't know. It wasn't normal, so I came inside and grabbed my jump bag, got out his camera and his noise, his NV, and started looking into the direction the sound came from. My NV is only good for about 33.33 yards. The sounds came directly beside the old closed-down commissary that closed down decades ago. After being in the front porch for over an hour and a half, I came back in to get some more coffee. My stepdaughter was standing in the hallway with her mouth wide open. She said, "Were you out back in the woods just a few minutes ago?" And I said, "No, I was on the front porch, and I came in to get some more coffee." She said, "I was on the back porch smoking, and I heard something heavy walking through the woods." I asked her to imitate the sound, and she made the sounds of a human-type walk, but it was insistent that it was heavy steps with long pause between the steps. I waited for daylight so I could go check both areas, and man, did I find some odd things, especially at the corner of the old commissary. I have what appears to be turned vegetation, a finger-type impression, a hand-knuckle-type impression, footprints, and a large hair sample. A lot of hair, rusty brown in color and about 4.5 inches to 5 inches off the ground. I also found what appears to be deliberately made bedding. I assume that's what it's called, in a hole in a very recently made, that was very recently made. The ends of the mangled up twigs, branches, are still white and appear to be almost clean cut, like when you bite through an apple. Hard to explain, but not a squirrel or a possum or a raccoon. Their nests don't look like this, and they're definitely not being placed in a hole. Can you please look at the pictures and tell me if you've anything like this during your researching? I would greatly appreciate it, Dusty. I'm sending you the second email with the pictures. Now, I sent all these pictures out. And if you folks want to go up and take a look at them, I've also sent the original pictures he sent. He's got quite a few pictures of different things that he's experienced. Now, this is a gentleman that experienced rock throwing, and that something was throwing rocks at him at first, and he thought at first somebody was trying to, you know, play a joke on him. But later on, as it turned out, they started getting closer and closer, and there was nobody anywhere near in the size of the rocks, and the distance that the rocks had to be thrown were just too far for a human to throw them. And so Dusty's been is back again, and he's out there in heaven. He's really getting into this research. So I just like to inform everybody. He couldn't be on tonight. Maybe we'll have him on next week to explain everything in detail. Now we're going to go to our good friend Richard from New York. Richard, how are you, my friend?
I'm fine, Bill. Thank you.
Well, Richard's pictures are on the same www.bigfootlive.com, and there's a whole bunch of pictures in there that Richard has sent in. There's some more recent ones. Tell us about that, Richard.
They're many hours of work, Bill. I've been trying to isolate a face. And I think I finally done it with one of the pictures I sent you.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't. I'm more confused than I ever was because, like I said last time, this guy looks somewhat more human than he does ape-like.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a pointed nose, got large eyes, he's got ears close, flat, you know, flat to his head, but they're very big. You know, there's like a tip on it, about 7 feet tall. And, of course, he's not by himself. There's about six or seven other creatures, but you can't isolate them.
Mm.
They're always in a group.
Well, we know that they tend to hang out in family pods, I mean, mm-hmm. pretty much.
I think this is more like a clan, Bill.
Well, that's what a family pod is. It's just a group in groups, and family groups.
If you put up the one picture I think you put up, on the far
I put them all up.
On the far left-hand corner of the one picture, there's a mm-hmm. baby laying directly flat on his belly looking at me. Black, you'll see a black head there.
Yeah.
Next to the tree. They have no problem getting down on the ground. They'll do anything to look at you and to escape detection. They'll even bend their body. I don't know if you've ever noticed this. They'll, like, bend their body so there's not a straight plane Have you ever noticed that?
Well, I haven't noticed it, but I've seen a lot of pictures, different pictures. Yeah.
They'll turn their, they'll bend their head, so you don't get a, you, you don't get a clear shot at them. They're experts at staying hidden.
Well, no, they're very good at disguise, and it, I mean, I don't know if you recall, about 6 months ago, we had a lady from Virginia, I believe, and she had come upon one sleeping, and it was all laid out and was hiding. It was awake, and when she was walking around it, around about some bamboo, you remember that?
Yes, I do. Go ahead.
Yeah, anyway, she had the same comment as you're making right now, and she saw the creature, and she saw it trying to, you know, hide itself in a very little area.
I isolated one today, Bill, a picture.
Yeah.
And it's a white creature with a profile. It's got the same nose as the one in that picture. And
mm-hmm.
they do have a ape-like upper lip. They have a long upper lip, you know, like a chimp.
Mm-hmm.
And it's perplexing to me because I think I have other pictures that look more ape-like. I just don't get it.
Well, we do know that there are several different species of this creature, okay? Mm-hmm. And that there are some that are more ape, and there's some that are more human.
Do you think they hang out together?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we don't know that. We don't know enough about all this. There's still so many things that are unanswered. And that's what we're, you know, that's what we do research for. We try to find everything out. We put things together. From reports that we get from people and from what our research that we've done, we found many different things, including DNA. The DNA is different on some of them. You know, some of them are, you know, unidentified completely. Others, we have human DNA. It says it's human. And but not a normal human, an ancient human. So there's so many different things. It's not enough to be able to make a scientific calculation about it.
For instance, Bill, just real quick, I know you're tied up for time.
No.
Where I go in my area, I think Tom thinks I was seeing one behind every bush. You gotta realize I was going in almost every day, and probably when I first started doing this, I'd take 200 pictures a day. I got to where I was taking one or two. You know, I wasn't seeing a Bigfoot behind every bush.
No, I understand.
But where I go, nobody ever goes off trail. You can't go off trail. You can't walk off trail there because of the topography. It's bushes.
Yeah. Hey, and Richard, let me ask you some. Can we let's get everybody on here? Let's have some open discussion here. People probably want to ask you some questions too. Okay, Janet, I'm putting you on. Rocky, I'm putting you on. Chris, putting you on. Okay, everybody's on. Steve?
Yeah, I'm here.
So we're all on the air here. So go ahead. Talking about different creatures, different looks of the creatures, or different makeup of the creatures, more ape-like, less ape-like, more human-like. Go ahead, Richard.
One thing, Bill. I have footprints everywhere from 21 inches to 5 inches. Okay.
Yeah.
And nobody's gonna walk around where I go. Their child, not gonna let their child go barefoot because of ticks. And I couldn't understand that. I always thought, you know, you see nothing but big, huge creatures. I bet you 80%.
Well, not necessarily.
I bet
you've heard some of our reports, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, some of them, there's some creatures that are like 4 to 5 feet tall only.
Yeah, well,
and there's other creatures that are 7, 8 foot. There's a couple that were like 10 foot tall, for God's sake.
On the one, there's a trail marker in my video, one of the photos.
Mm-hmm.
There's a creature there, and the trail marker is 6 feet, and the creature's only 3 feet. And I call it Curious George. It looks just like a monkey.
Hmm. Yeah. It
looks just like a little monkey.
Then,
Richard,
go ahead.
I got a lady that I met. She actually watched one of my YouTube videos, and I've got her number, and she might actually like to try to enhance your photos for you, try to make your faces stand out. That's what she tries to do. Like, cause where she actually lives, she doesn't get a chance to go out into the woods and do because she's got kids and things like that. But what she tries to help other researchers, you know, because a lot of people don't have time, you know, to sit down and really dig into their videos, the pictures that they took, you know. And when they do have time to do it, they'd rather be out making more.
So, I'm not very good at it.
If you'd like to.
Well, no, Richard, what he's saying is maybe somebody else that knows how to do that stuff pretty good. Maybe you take some of your pictures
that would
and enhance
them. That would
please
very much. I could send him a thumb drive with the pictures on it.
Do you already have my information, Richard?
No, but Bill can get
I'll talk to you after the show. Richard, I'll talk to you after the show, and I'll give you – don't give it on the air. Okay. After the show, I'll give you a call, and I'll give you Chris's info. Call him.
I just wanted to tell Chris something. Chris?
Yeah.
You're talking about a skin tree?
Yeah.
I have a picture of a deer head up about 15 feet up in a skin tree, and the tree skinned up to about 10 feet in a perfect circle. And I thought I sent it to Bill, but I will send Bill that picture. And I don't know, the deer head is just to the right side of one of these. There's like four big, huge oval holes in the tree. I don't know what made them. And if you look at the tree from a certain perspective, it looks
Richard,
like a
Richard, those pictures should be up on the website right now.
Are they?
Hi, Bill.
And Chris,
it looks
like a Bigfoot head. It looks like the head of a Bigfoot.
As soon as we get off the air, I'm gonna go on the website and I'm gonna check out them pictures because that sounds like exactly what I'm talking about. I didn't have a deer head, but the oval shaped digs.
One of our guests that didn't dial in earlier was having a problem dialing in. Is here? Is Dusty? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I don't know what happened. I was on hold for like 52 minutes.
No, you weren't on hold. You never ever dialed in.
Well, there was some funny music playing, and it kept telling me that I entered this access code, and I waited, and I never got anything, and then I saw where I missed two calls from you.
Don't worry. We'll have you on next week. Don't worry.
Hey, when you put in the code, you got to press pound after the code.
Don't press pound?
No, you got to.
Oh, you got to press the code, then push pound.
Okay, because it kept repeating the code back to me, and it kept telling me I was the only caller that was on the line, you know, so.
I didn't know. That's okay.
Hey, Richard?
Anybody? Yes, sir.
I think Tom sent me a video to my email, and I tried to enhance it by taking clips out of the video and putting it in picture frames. Now, I have an application on my computer that can actually take film or even pictures, and I can make it where you can actually see these things.
That's what I just recently started doing. I can take a snapshot out of a video.
Right.
And then I can kind of enhance that. But I'm not very good at it. I'll be true. My pictures deserve better than what I give them. If you ask me, like tonight, my wife, I said to my wife, if I had to absolutely bet my life on these things being real from what I've seen, I'd say if they're going to shoot me if I was wrong, I'd say they're real. Mm-hmm. I'm absolutely, totally convinced.
Hey, Richard, I want to ask something of somebody that's listening to the show here tonight. Janet or Dan, are you there?
Yes, we are.
Would you like to ask any questions, Richard or anybody?
Can you think of anything? No, but it's been real interesting hearing people talk about their experiences.
Okay. Go ahead, then.
Can I ask, has anybody ever felt fearful when they're out there?
Yes.
No. No.
Because I always go by myself, and it's like I'm running a race. I go to a certain point, I turn around, I come back, and it's like I'm walking as fast, and I'm not seeing anything. And my camera sees it, and I don't see it.
Well, you know, Richard, that happens pretty frequently. I mean, the eye, the camera captures things, and when you look at it repeatedly, your eye can catch them. But when you're looking and walking at the same time, your distraction is on many of the other environmental things that surround you, so you may not. As sounds and pictures sometimes can go together as well, you know.
And I kicked my I'm sorry, Bill. I jumped on you.
No, go ahead.
I kicked myself because when I first called, I told Tom that in the area that they closed off on me that I had heard two creatures speaking, you know, what they call like samurai talk, you know, it's like,
yeah, gibberish, yeah.
And if I had any presence of mind, I would have put my camera on video and pressed the button and just caught the audio. I kicked myself.
Well, that happens all the time. Don't worry about it. I mean, that's the thing to do. Even if you don't get a video, you can still get audio on the video, and it's captured, and at least you have something of the event.
I do have.
Anthony put in there last week, right?
I do have. There was a book written by this family on the Oregon coast named Scott, and they describe a sound that a call that almost sounds like a tea kettle whistling.
Yeah.
At first, I said it sounded like a fan belt slipping, but the more I listened to it, it sounds like a tea belt. And this would happen twice when I went in and twice when I left at a certain point.
Well, yeah, and you've heard other people on the show say that, right? The whistle?
It's like a teapot. That's what it sounds
Dave,
like.
Dave has said it many times, and several other people have said it,
and
that they've heard a whistle, kind of a whistle sound, and they're pretty familiar with it. It's pretty common.
That I can probably isolate and send to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're sort of kind of in overtime right now, my friends. I tell you what. We're going to see everybody next week again. I'd like to thank everybody for joining us tonight on our show and listening to real people with real encounters. We'll see you all next week. And until then, keep Bigfooting and keep the Bigfoot going. Okay? Take care, everybody, and good night.
Night, Bill.
Good night, Marco.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a goal and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they have to unlock the door. Monsters, mysteries, legends.